Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard, accepted worldwide. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Maybe this is your first time listening to the music of Joanna Newsom. Perhaps you're a longtime devoted fan. Regardless, Joanna's music takes some time to become acquainted with. For me, at least, it wasn't love at first listen, but as I listen to it more and more, I have become enthralled by it, I think is probably the right word. So today we'll spend some time with Joanna Newsom and her music. Let's start with the opening cut from her CD. It's called East.
The meadowlark and the chimney and the sparrow said to the sky in a flying spree for the sport of the fair. Little while later, the Pharisees dragged a comb through the meadow. Do you remember what they called up to you and me in our window? There is a rusty light on the pines tonight, some corn wine. Bones of the birches and the spires of the churches jutting out from the shadow. Yoke and the axe and the old.
So I think that it isn't that Joanna Newsom's music is difficult. It's just so different. And so Joanna Newsom is here with me in the studio. Welcome,
thank
Joanna.
You.
And I'd love to talk to you about what you do and what you love about music. And we've invited you here to play DJ with us. So you'll play us some songs. Maybe we'll find some insight into what you do from the music you choose. And the tea's arrived. Great. Okay. So let's start with the instrument you play. Obviously, you play a harp. So how did the harp find you?
I was just really young. And
how young?
I was about 4 or 5 when I started being obsessed with the instrument, and my parents took me to a local teacher in our town. And
you were living?
I was living in Nevada City, California, and the teacher said I was way too young to take on as a student, and I had to take piano for a few years, which I did. So I wasn't, I think I was 8 years old when I actually started taking lessons, but in the interim, I never really loved the piano, and I was always just waiting to study the harp. So
was the harp always bigger than you?
It was, although I think not quite as dramatically bigger as it is now, because I started on a smaller Celtic harp that fit a child size.
So tell us about the harp that you play now. It's a pedal harp,
right?
What is that?
Yeah, basically it's just the more classical version of a harp, which is actually a newer form than the folk harp, but the mechanism by which key is changed is controlled by 7 foot pedals. Yeah, so you know, there's like a C pedal, and then if you press it down, all of the C notes get sharped, all the C strings get sharped, and if you raise the pedal up, then all the C notes get flatted.
What a contraption.
Yeah, it's actually really complicated looking inside all the rods and levers and gears and everything inside of the harp.
We invited you to play some music for us today. What would you like to start with?
We should start with I Think It's Going to Rain Today by Randy Newman.
Okay.
Maybe we could start a little later in the song, because the middle section, the string section in the middle, is I think probably the most perfect string section ever written
in a
pop song.
Okay.
I mean, the song's one of the most perfect pop songs ever written, but the string section in the middle is unbelievable, so.
Okay.
Scarecrows dressed in the latest styles, with frozen smiles to chase love away. You and it's overflowing, and I think it's going to rain today. tin can at my feet, and God kick it down the street. That's the way to treat a friend.
What is it about the string section? I assume Randy Newman arranged it. He does so many scores.
Yeah.
What is it about that string section that grabs you?
It just moves really gracefully and without feeling like pastiche. It moves from this real achingly romantic feeling to this sort of angular, real strident sort of new American music sound, you know, like a lot of like Copelandisms and just a certain sort of chromaticism that you immediately relate. But the song itself, the words and the singing and the section where he says lonely, and then there's this just sort of like shifting bed of strings underneath him as he keeps repeating the word lonely. It's pretty unbelievable.
It's funny because we just, the last person who came on our show to play DJ was Weird Al Yankovic.
Whoa.
and one of the cuts of music that Weird Al played was also from Randy Newman.
Really? Yeah. What record?
What did Weird Al play? It was a song about this sort of perfect life that these folks, rich folks, live.
Yeah.
It was very sarcastic and wonderful.
Right.
What is it about Randy Newman, do you think, that attracts you?
I don't know. They're hilarious. The songs are hilarious without being joke songs. But I guess what I really love about this record is you could look at it as not being funny at all. You know, like him just being dead earnest. I mean, you can feel how he was really young, like when he made this record. I'm not sure how old he was, but Van Dyke Parks produced the record, which is another reason why I really love it. Did not do the string arrangements, I believe. I think Randy Newman did the string arrangements. But
and Van Dyke's a fellow who's been in love with Randy Newman for a long time.
Sure. Very huge early advocate of
his,
Randy Newman.
One of his first records, Song Cycle, the opening cut is a Randy Newman song. They both have this thing about Americana. As you say, it's not quite Copeland, but it conjures images of landscapes and places. And I brought in a copy of Van Dyke Parks' record. Let's play a cut called Laurel Canyon Boulevard, and I think you probably know this well.
Yeah.
Tracks of the beaten in automobile pounded from nine survivors round a long line of drivers, wine to dine in the divers, dandelion. One line led in tandem from some new hatchet deals. Cracks in the heat and then caught by the wind. Catch the country store field for the hackamore crew. View the Cracker Bear coterie standing by. One line, Brad Randy ran down to few wretched meals.
Van Dyke Parks, for many, is well known because of the work he did on the Smile record. I had the pleasure to spend a bunch of time with him recently when the Smile record was being remade. And he's an amazing character, has a gift for language,
right,
and a gift for arrangement and hearing stuff. Why don't you tell me your record? You went in the studio on East, and you went in the studio and you recorded all your harp parts. I assumed you recorded then all your singing parts.
Mm-hmm.
But then you handed it over to Van Dyke Parks, in essence. Yeah?
I handed it over for him to make arrangements, although, of course, it took many, many drafts to get it to the point where it was something that we both resonated with. But absolutely, I mean, he wrote those arrangements.
So what were the conversations like? You handed this music. What do you talk about when you...
We didn't talk about much at that point. I just handed him, like, a manifesto of, like, this is what I want the record to sound like.
Some descriptive words, maybe.
Quite a few descriptive words, probably a maddening amount of words that, in retrospect, seem pretty subjective.
Like what?
I can't remember a lot of what I wrote. I have one memory of a section that I described as wanting to sound sinister, for example. Mm. And I think, you know, that's one of many, many words that a musical equivalent of sinisterness, you know, or delicacy or tenderness or anything like that, I mean, could sound like just about anything depending on who the composer is.
Let's give a listen to another song on your record. Let's give a listen to the tune Monkey and Bear.
Down in the green hay where monkey and bear usually lay, they woke from a stable boy's cry.
Said someone, come quick, the horses got loose, got grass sick. They'll founder, faint, they'll die. What is now known by the sorrel and the roan, by the chestnut and the bay and the gelding gray, it is stay by the gate that you are given and remain in your place for your season. And had the overfit did but listen to the high fence for sense wisdom. Did you hear that bear said, monkey, we'll get out of here fair and square? They left the gate open wide. So, my bride, here is my hand, where is your paw? Try and understand my plan, Ursula. My heart is a furnace, full of love that's just an earnest. Now you know that we must unlearn this allegiance to a life of service. I'm no longer answer to that heartless haymonger, nor be his accomplice, the charlatan with artless heart.
So this is a story of a, if I get this right, and again, I've only listened to this record now three times, story of a monkey, story of a bear. They escape from, I think, a stable together, and monkey sort of makes all these promises to the bear about his freedom, in essence, it seems like. Where does a song like this come from? And maybe you can tell me a little more about the story, because there's a lot of promises that go on with the monkey and the bear. And the, is it an allegory? Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which I think becomes more evident towards the end when everything goes to hell. I mean,
and does that peek out in the arrangements and in the music as well?
Definitely.
And would those discussions go on with someone like Van Dyke?
Absolutely. He knows a lot about like the meanings of these songs and so forth, which to me isn't a super important general musical value. You know, like it's not terribly important that my intended meaning be explicitly knowable to a listener, but I think for this kind of a collaboration, like, it was important that Van Dyke understood a lot of the understory, because he was very committed to sort of reiterating and reinforcing and substantiating the story with his scores.
You must have been thrilled when you heard the results. I mean, I'm back and forth a lot, I'm sure, but in the end,
yeah,
it's an extraordinary record.
I was thrilled. It was amazing. I mean, when I sat and actually heard the orchestra record these things that had sort of just been conceptual up until that point, that was very emotional and amazing.
So let's have you pick another tune for us.
How about this new Lindsey Buckingham track, Shut Us Down, from Lindsey Buckingham's new record?
I haven't heard this yet.
Oh?
And Lindsey Buckingham, of course, and Stevie Nicks are well-known from California. They've done a number of things, but most famous, of course, for being a part of Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
Oh, you and I, we sure can't dream of conversations that might Hello.
That's Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah. Our guest DJ is Joanna Newsom. Her new record's called East. We'll talk more about East. I want you to pick me one more cut, because I'm sort of seeing a pattern in sort of the music that you're picking, although they're spanning 30 years of stuff here. Go ahead and pick me one more, and then we'll
okay.
talk.
Okay, let's do Next Time Around by Sandy Denny.
Oh. Now, Sandy Denny is the one artist that if I imagine what would be on your list, she's one artist that I was hoping and imagined would be on your list.
Yeah.
So far, none of the others I had a clue you'd pick. So this is great.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Sandy Denny. This is from her, what song are we picking? This is
Next Time Around.
Next Time Around is from her first solo record, if I remember right. It's the one she did after Fotheringay, which is a band she had. She was also in Fairport Convention, of course. Let's give a listen. She is so amazing, and she died so young. She was so important, Sandy Denny was, in the British folk music. She really pushed the band Fairport Convention to do so much of that British folk. She really had that sense of great British folk music. But when I was thinking about, so far, the three tunes that you've picked, and I listen to your music, here's a little pattern that I keep seeing, and it's unique in that a lot of things that you do and the things that you're choosing, they don't have a verse, chorus, verse,
no.
chorus. There's no A and a B and a back to the A. And and it's interesting.
That's something that hadn't occurred to me. I mean, that if you asked me what appeals to me about each of those songs, that certainly wouldn't be. I would have many other things to gush about than that.
And we absolutely should talk about some of that. But it is, when I listen to your music, and especially East, it doesn't come back to anything. It keeps moving forward and unfolding and unfolding. And it's a very beautiful thing. And when I started the show and I said, your first reaction may be not love at first listen.
Right.
Some of what, at least for me when I listen to music, is somewhat about expectation. And if something doesn't come back to something familiar, it makes it harder, because you're not going to get the same thing repeating and get familiar with it very quickly.
Well, I think that's true often, although a lot of these songs on this record do sort of have a cyclical, songic form. It's just expanded.
Uh-huh.
There's something that might resemble a verse and something that might resemble a chorus. They just are sort of stretched over a different framework.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, I mean, I see your point, and I think it's true.
And the other things that are we could sort of gush about are the gorgeous arrangements and tone shifts that happen often in the case of much of these with strings. What else is there?
Well, sort of relating to what you just pointed out, the tone shifting, that's one thing I would relate to Sandy Denny and Randy Newman specifically.
Yeah.
But in the case of Sandy Denny, I think one of her incredible gifts was as just an unbelievable sort of melodist. Like, I don't think there are very many people making music who have ever been like this or whoever will be like this. It's almost like I don't know, Paul McCartney or something like that. Like her sense of melody and sort of the interval separating each progressive note of her mm-hmm. melody is so incredibly deliberate. It's just like carving out some sculpture or something. Huh. Like, I mean, it manages to feel fluid and intuitive, but at the same time, from like a compositional perspective or whatever, it's just unbelievably ambitious and interesting and just reaches such incredible heights. And then there's this sort of bedrock shifting tonality of the piano part in that song. It's like,
yeah,
slays me.
Do you hear this stuff in your head when you're making a piece of music, when you're sitting at the harp? Can you hear all the other stuff that you want to be have happening, or is some of that stuff mm-hmm. happening in the harmonics that's going on with the harp, because it's such a rich instrument?
Sure, yeah. Sometimes I hear it. It's funny, I always get really unsure of myself when anybody asks me about like my own writing process, because uh-huh. I can never quite remember. Like, I never really remember how like any of these songs happened or what my process is. Yeah. It just like it happens and then it doesn't, and then it happens again.
And thank goodness for recording.
Yeah, sure.
Because it might just fly away and may never remember it again.
Yeah. I mean, my old habit, which I still have, is to just play something obsessively after I've written it so that I don't lose it, uh-huh. you know, until I can get it recorded.
How do you discover music? The choices you're making, the Lindsey Buckingham is a recent mm-hmm. recording. Some of these others aren't. How do you find music?
Well, let's see, all sorts of different ways. Definitely, I rely on good friends mm-hmm. sometimes to put music in my hands.
Older friends, younger friends?
Combination of both, yeah. I think. The Lindsey Buckingham is sort of an obvious choice for me because I've been pretty obsessed with Fleetwood Mac for years. Huh. Like, there was a year in high school, my sophomore year, when I like made a rule where I would only listen to Fleetwood Mac. It's like really insane, but I'm not making that up.
I
only listen to Fleetwood Mac, and I think that they're all, I mean, like, it's an incredible, like, a group of actual geniuses. And, you know, they made some odd calls every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But, like, they were amazing. And I love, like, Buckingham, Nicks, you
yeah.
know.
The first record.
Yeah, and I love solo Lindsey Buckingham. And this record I was really nervous about. You know, anytime someone's been making music for that long, I start to be nervous that they're going to, like, start making an awful record or two. But this Lindsey Buckingham record is always at least interesting and usually, in my opinion, really, really good.
I want to play something. I can't remember for sure. So I think it was at the beginning of cut 3 on Joanna's record. I'm going to play more of the song in a minute, but there's a couple of times on this record where this amazing sound comes from your voice, and I couldn't figure out what it is and how you do it and where it comes from. Do you have a name for it?
No, I don't know what it is yeah. either. It happens when I'm singing sometimes and not other times. I think I've noticed from touring and stuff, it happens maybe depending on weird factors like how hot the room is or whether people are smoking or something. It has something to do with the condition of my, like the climate or something in the room. Sometimes when I am singing my natural way of singing, like it produces this weird little chirp on certain.
A chirp would be good.
Certain notes.
It's very expressive, and it feels like something you've built up to when it happens.
Hmm.
How do you find your voice? How did you talked about on your harp playing starting Celtic, and how do you find your voice?
I've always had the voice that I have roughly as a starting point, and for many years that meant to me that I did not have a voice to be considered a tool at my musical disposal based on a set of standards that I had sort of developed from studying classical music for so long.
But you sort of made it work for you?
I eventually did, yeah. I mean, but I didn't use it for years and years and years, and I think that is something that, especially, like, I made these really early home recordings mm-hmm. that some people have copies of.
Uh-oh, they're going to be everywhere, yeah.
No, they already are, man.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're everywhere. But you can really tell on those that I was using my voice basically for like the first time pretty much ever.
Did you do open mics and stuff when you started playing?
No. Okay. My approach to music when I first started making these songs was, I mean, I didn't really have any ambition or aspiration whatsoever to perform or release recordings. It wasn't my focus or my goal. I didn't think anyone would want to hear it. It was a complete accident, actually.
But they did, and how'd that happen? You got music around to somebody.
I didn't, actually. I had one CDR in existence burned from some songs, and one friend of mine who had asked me, I guess, to sing harmony with him once when I was his roommate up in Nevada City when I took a year off of school. It's a really long story, but anyway, yeah. He heard that I had these songs where I was singing, and he was, like, really, really curious because he was one of the people who had told me, like, no, I actually do like your voice.
Did he pass it around?
He didn't pass it around. He gave his only copy to Will Oldham.
Oh,
and Will Oldham,
Bonnie Prince.
Yeah, Bonnie Prince Billy, who promptly gave it to Drag City and asked me to tour with him. So based on one copy.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It was really bizarre, but I mean, it was good.
Your record, you basically started with the harp parts. You had Van Dyke Parks then go ahead and work on arrangements for you. You went back and forth with it. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the rest of the process and some of the people involved in making of East?
Yeah. Well, the recording we started out with, which was the vocal and harp, remained the final recording, was done by Steve Albini, and that was sort of the
Steve
first.
Steve Albini, known as producer, Nirvana's probably the most well-known, but certainly he's a great musician on his own. He's a good journalist on his own. He's a lot of things.
Yeah. And he seemed really to be the perfect person to help me to preserve and capture this sort of core of naturalism and sort of roughness. And I wanted all the natural properties of the harp to
He did
to
a
be
nice
captured.
Job on that. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. He did an amazing job. Yeah.
And then we take all these elements. There's got to be a lot of tracks and a lot of things going on with Van Dyke's work and all that Steve... did, and then what happens?
Then Jim O'Rourke helped me mix it and did just an unbelievable job.
And tell folks who Jim O'Rourke is, for those who don't know, the producer.
Well, he's done all sorts of stuff. He's created an incredible body of solo work over the years, just running the gamut of, like, really experimental new music, sort of, like, more pop-influenced stuff.
He has lots of ideas for that whole shifting underneath stuff, you know, that we talk about, which is the whole sand shift from underneath the music.
And I really love his work a lot, but in the case of this record, he took 40 analog tape tracks with two tape machines slaved up to each other.
In Abbey Road Studios.
He did the mixing at Sear Sound in New York, and then it was mastered at Abbey Road Studios. Yeah, yeah.
And then you get to hear all of this for the first time. What was that like?
It was unbelievable. But, I mean, by the time Jim got done with it, it was, like, stunning to me. Like, I couldn't believe how much it had met and exceeded for me what I wanted it to be, and in really important, delicate ways lined up with how I needed it to feel. They were really, really easily smothered, easily sort of killed ideas that hadn't been killed or smothered and had been upheld and reinforced by all the elements instead of, you know, like, I don't know how it worked. It felt very serendipitous and lucky in many ways.
That's great. Well, everybody who worked on this should be proud, you especially, for the vision you put into this record.
Thank you.
Well, let's go out on some of the music on the new record, East. It's called Only Skin. Joanna Newsom, thanks for coming today and doing this. It's wonderful
to
have you.
And there was a booming above you that night. Black airplanes flew over the sea. And they were lone and shifting like beached whales, shelled snails. As you strained and you squinted to see the retreat of their hairless and blind cavalry. You froze in your sensual, prayed for your poor soul. Sky was a bread roll, soaking in the milk bowl. And when the bread broke, fell in bricks of wet smoke. My sleeping heart woke.
their pockets, stubbly running to where I'm unfresh, undressed and yawning. Well, what is this craziness, this crazy talking? You caught some small death when you were sleepwalking. It was a dark dream, darling, it's over. The fire breather is beneath the clover. Beneath his breathing there is cold clay forever. A toothless hound dog choking on a feather. But I took my fishing pole, fearing your fever, down to the swimming hole where there grows a bitter herb that blooms but one day a year. By the riverside I bring it here. Apply it gently to the love you've lent me. While the river was twisting and braiding, the bait barbed in a string sobbed as it cut through the hustling breeze. And I watched how the water was kneading so neatly, gone trickling, nearly slow to a stop in his heat, in a frenzy, coiling flush along the muscles beneath. Press on me, we are restless things. Whips of seaweed are swaddling, and you call upon the dusk of the mask of a squid shot full of ink until you sink into your crib. Rowing nylon among the reeds, among the rushes, I heard your song before my heart had time to hush it. Smell of a stone fruit being cut and being open. Smell of a low and of a lazy cinder smoking. And when the fire moves away, fire moves away, son. Why would you say I was the last one? Scrape your knee, it is only skin. Makes the sound of violin. And when I cut your hair and leave the birds all of the trimmings, I'm the happiest woman among all women. In the shallow waters, which is as far as I can see, knee deep, trudging along, the seagull weeps so long, humming a threshing song until the night is over. Hold on, hold on, hold your horses back from the fickle dawn. I have got some business out at the itchy town, candy weighing both of my pockets down till I can hardly stay afloat from the weight of them. And knowing how the car
what it is I do to you to keep you warm. Being a woman, being a woman, but always up the mountain side you're clambering, groping blindly, hungry for anything, picking through your pocket lining with what is this, scrap a sassafras, a Sisyphus. I see the blossoms grow.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Borders, presenting books, music, and movie gift ideas from the Gift Squad. Details at BordersGifts.com.